The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Time once again to keep your mission on your mind, your mission. He is Michael Coleman, the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank on the left-hand side of the screen if you're watching us right now on our brand new Tony Curry Radio YouTube channel. It's great to see our beautiful faces talking. Of course, our numbers are fantastic. It's amazing how people love to listen to podcasts, but sometimes they actually like to have the visual aspect of it as well. So we're happy to give that to you. Of course, you can hear us wherever you get your favorite podcast. And more importantly, listen to it on TKR. It runs at least 5 days a week. You'll hear a Mission Minded backed up by Bite by Bite, which is another great show we do right after this one. Michael, how you doing, brother? What's going on?
I'm doing fantastic, fighting the enemy of hunger and food insecurity at the food bank, and just trying to stay abreast of everything that's going on around the world at the same time.
Kind of crispy out there. It's cooling off a little bit. And of course, that means Halloween coming up. That means Thanksgiving's coming up. That means Christmas and holidays. How does that change Feeding America and food banks in general when you get to this time of the season?
Yeah, so it's always an appeal because, you know, we're relational people. And as we gather around, you know, we love gathering around the table and sharing life. And, you know, it's the Thanksgiving and the Christmas time that we tend to gather around and travel to see family and get together maybe for the only time of the year. And so, yeah, it's always tough because we know that there are people who have that same nature. They want to gather around the family, but they know they're really struggling to be able to have enough to be able to have a family gathering. And so we try to focus and plan and make sure that our neighbors in need, you know, have enough to be able to still gather around. And that's all about trying to not have a mindset of, well, take whatever we can give you, be glad you're getting whatever you are. It's, you know, it's just treating people with dignity and respect and trying to honor them and say, you're our neighbor and you're a person, you have the same needs we do, and I know you're trying to do everything you can and you just fall a little short. So here we are to give you the help, the hand up, and so that you can also enjoy your family as well.
It's something we'll discuss on Bite by Bite, which I think is going to be fantastic, about the challenges of providing nutritional food, not only nutritional food, but also the food that people that are willing to eat. And I know through your work with the Jimmy Hale Mission, you always did something really big around Thanksgiving. People that have a need for food, they will be eating turkey around the Thanksgiving and the Christmas holiday. So we'll talk about that coming up a little bit. Key performance indicators and why they're so important to organizations. We'll get into that a little bit later on the show, but we always love to get to your emails, info@tonycurryradio.net, info@tonycurryradio.net. You ready to knock out some of these? They're all over the place. Steve.
And I will tell you, the audience needs to know, you and I have not talked about these, so you're hitting it fresh. So if it takes me just a second to think it through, y'all just bear with me because Tony hits these. No, he didn't give me any heads up on these.
You knock out home runs every single week. I love it. Steven and Bessemer wants to know, ask Michael, is it better to be really good on one social media platform or to be on as many as possible and not do as well of a job?
Wow.
That's a good question, man. Cause I mean,
that's a very good question. Yeah. I will tell you, I feel like it's probably better. And normally I wouldn't say this. Normally I'd say don't bite off more than you can chew and just, but the truth of the matter is there's some people who are just LinkedIn people and there's some people that are YouTube people now, and there's some people that are Instagram people. And there's not a lot of people who do it all. So if your goal is you want to reach as many people as possible, you really need to dig down and understand how some of the algorithms work. I'm telling you, the more I get into this, the more I find it's just over my head.
Yeah.
That's why there's companies making a living saying, not only will we collect the data for you, but we'll interpret the data for you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you can give me the data all day long. And I'm like, okay, this is telling me I'm spending 20 cents for every click on Facebook. And I'm like, well, is that good? Is that bad?
Yeah.
What, because I don't know the industry standards. So, but if I was just going at it on my own, and so I might not be an expert anywhere, I would tend to say, I want to put that information out on as many channels as possible. Of course, you want to have a minimum level of professional. You don't want to put anything out there that's trash, even if it's on one channel. But you do your best. And then I say hit as many opportunities because you're trying to hit as wide an audience as you can.
I know there's some platforms out there too that you can actually post on one and it will post on multiple platforms.
If you post on Facebook, it's going to post to Instagram.
Yeah.
Are tied in.
Yeah. Which is obviously good. And of course, Twitter, which is now X, seems to be having somewhat of a redeeming value. A lot of people are wanting to get on this new platform called X, which is really the same thing. So good answer. Trish in Birmingham, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, recently got involved with a non-for-profit, but they voted not to take cash donations or one-time donations. All they're going to take is monthly auto debit platforms. And she thought that was kind of strange. She said, according to her board, they said that was the best way to get people to not only give to this non-for-profit, but to do it constantly over the course of a period of time. I actually was at a store, and I don't want to mention who it was, but it's a great organization I hadn't heard of. There were two ladies sitting outside of a pizza place, and they were talking about it, and I had a really long conversation with them, and they said, would you like to make a contribution? I had a $20 bill in my pocket, and I handed it to him. She said, we don't take cash. We can only do it through your bank. And obviously, knowing it was going through my bank, it was going to be a monthly contribution. And quite frankly, I got tied into 2 years because I never, until my credit card number changed, I just kept coming out. So they got me for quite a bit. It was a great organization. I was happy to do it. But when my $20 contribution turned into about $480 over the course of a couple of years. So what's the smartest way to ask for contributions?
Well, I just be honest with you, I couldn't disagree more with that philosophy. Now, I will tell you, nonprofits love monthly donors.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we're in the middle of a monthly donor campaign right now because when people are writing a check, they're evaluating their finances and they're like, I really don't have an extra $50 this month. And so they make a decision. Then they get out of the habit of giving. It's not that your organization is not fulfilling its needs now that you're doing your job, but all of a sudden you have people who come along and life happens. And so they choose. So that can affect your anticipated funding. Plus, you may not know why this donor who's given every month for the last 8 months all of a sudden has stopped giving.
Mm-hmm.
So we like the credit card because most CRM now is where you track all that and it goes through is we come up and if somebody's given a monthly thing, and it's declined all of a sudden, we know their card's expired or whatever. And it runs it for 5 days and tries to keep doing it. But it also sends a notice to the person to renew. And and it's just easier for the nonprofit if you're like trying to create a stability for funding. But here's the problem is some people, our biggest donors, don't break up their donations over 12 months. Our biggest donors give once a year.
Yeah.
And they're going to give the $10,000 or the $20,000 or whatever. And the business and corporations and organizations that you could otherwise recruit into supporting you is not going to break up their donations. Now, maybe it's just for individual donations, but let's say, for instance, it is. I still would disagree that. Maybe it's because the nonprofit's so small. Maybe they don't have a staff, a donor staff. I mean, I would, maybe my mind would shift or my opinion would shift if I knew some more information, but I've never heard of a nonprofit taking that on as the only source. I mean, I get the cash today because you want to safeguard funds. And so we don't like people to send cash in the mail, although they do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this idea of only accepting monthly donors, like people who are trying to give you $100 cash or $500 gift, you're like, no, if you're not willing to make a monthly commitment going on out. It's not that that makes the nonprofit. So from a donor's perspective or a volunteer's perspective, who our email's about, there's nothing nefarious about it. I just question the judgment behind it.
Yeah, I don't think you ever turned down any donation, period. And in this particular case, it got me because they know, I mean, I can't tell you how many things are auto-debited out of my account every single month. Right. I don't know what half the stuff is. And whether it's subscriptions to the Wall Street Journal or whatever it is, and it's like it keeps coming out and you don't know how to turn it off. And so, but you feel good about giving to a worthwhile organization. And so you just kind of let it go until obviously.
Well, I know it's the whole thing. Same thing with Planet Fitness. You get the $10 a month and then you have to go in to do it. And I know one guy that doesn't want to go confront. He just pays $10 a month and never goes to the gym, but he doesn't want to go in and actually have to talk to somebody to get it.
And that's the only way you can join that gym. It's only 10 bucks, but they get you every single month. So they got it from bookkeeping standpoint. It's probably pretty good. Info at Tony Curry Radio Tonight, .net. Tanisha in Birmingham was an employee at Walgreens. This is a great question because I just was at a Walgreens this morning getting some prescriptions filled. Recently, I was told I was going to lose my job because my Walgreens was going to close. She saw a recent article about Rite Aid, CVS's, and Walgreens closing hundreds of stores across the country. It is amazing because if you've got a Walgreens on one corner, you will have a CVS on the opposite corner within a period of time, and then you'll have a Rite Aid on the other. I know Rite Aid's also going through a bankruptcy right now. I just heard yesterday they're reorganizing their whole situation. And she's like, we just got too many, I'm not going to say what she said, too many pharmacies out there. And obviously, it's going to hurt a lot of people because there's a lot of people that only go to one particular drugstore. Now they're going to have to find another one. But if you do find one, you'll normally find three. She said, how do companies not see that they're over infiltrating, if you will, our neighborhoods with all these drugstores before it's too late, before we just have too many, because they're obviously not making any money?
Well, you're right. That is a very good question. And every company does market analysis and they feel like, you know, they look at the competitors in the area. They look at the number of people per square mile or quarter mile or whatever to try to see what the potential customer base is. And if you have to remember, there's more than just the idea of, hey, I'm gonna lock in here next to Walgreens if I'm a CVS, for instance. You have a lot of mom and pop shops. The pharmacies, when we grew up, there were no chain pharmacies that I remember. Every town had an individual family who was the local pharmacist. And you know, it was a trust relationship. You knew it. And I think a lot of people who live have been long for those kind of days. But a lot of it is a chain comes in and they have such buying power and they have such reachability, if you will, in terms of the products they can carry. Because if one individual store may not be making as much, but there's other stores that are compensating for it. But the goal may be I'm going to establish a presence here as a community grows. And I'm also going to squash the mom and pops. And so it's just the weight of my name. They can do national advertising, local advertising, things that a mom and pop shop lots of times can't do.
And a lot of those mom and pops have closed. A lot of 70, at least according to the article I saw this morning, 77% of them closed in the last 20 years, which is unfortunate because I love those mom and pop pharmacies.
Well, and sometimes you have to look within the dynamics of each individual chain. So Rite Aid is a long chain. I mean, it has a long history. But they've been kind of squashed by the bigger guys and the bigger chains. And when you look within a company culture, lots of times you can see like Rite Aid, you don't see as many commercials. You don't see as much innovation. You don't see like in where I live in the Prattville area, Millbrook area, there's a CVS inside of a Target.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes perfect sense. You don't need, you know, and Target goes, well, why bring in a whole different pharmacy? We'll partner with, you know. And so when you look at companies who then say, hey, we're going to think smarter. And there's maybe some CVSs that are closing. And because business models begin to change and they're like, hey, when we're trying to get our name out there, we want to buy in every town. You know, so you have CVSs everywhere, Walgreens everywhere. So you have that, but then after years of that, you start saying, well, the business community is going this way or this way. And so we're going to adapt. And those who can adapt and those who can stay fluid and those who don't put so much capital at risk. In other words, they don't grow too fast and get too much in debt. Because if you're too much in debt and the business model changes, you don't have the flexibility to change because you're all your resources are tied up in your past paradigm, if you will. So a lot of it is these companies that are staying on top is because they have good management or they're pointed in the right direction. Now, that doesn't account for every individual store manager and the culture in that store. I'm talking about company-wide at the national level are making, you know, good decisions for the most part. But you could even look inside of Walmart and you could look inside of CVS and Walgreens, the two main examples we're using, and they may be totally different in their models. I will tell you this, if I know it probably appears like, well, there's just not enough business for everybody. Mm-hmm. But with the vast majority of Americans on prescription medication, and that's not slowing down. Now, they have cut back on the pain pills and the opioid epidemic and all that. But, you know, I heard this on TV. This is a little related. America and New Zealand are the only countries on this planet that allow drug manufacturers to market to individuals.
Wow. Yeah.
And you think about it. We hear something. If I'm on a cholesterol medication and another cholesterol medication comes out, then I go to my doctor and say, no, I don't want this. I want this. Or we diagnose ourselves and we go back, hey, I'm sure I need this. And then they incentivize doctors to write prescriptions.
Absolutely.
By them because insurance pays for it. So we have a lot of problems that are not necessarily just the company itself, but the models connected with the insurance and that whole thing. And just the demand out there. There's a lot of reasons as to why we have so many. But it's just like everything else. Only the strong is going to survive.
We're also one of the most over-medicated. Well, I don't say over-medicated, but most medicated period countries in the world for
no
sure.
Doubt.
And it's a big
no
bonus.
Doubt.
And I was on that side of town at Walgreens this morning, which is where I get in my, and I love those people. I know them. They do well because my son's on medication. Both my sons are on medication. I've got some things. And 8 o'clock this morning, there were 13 people waiting in line 8 o'clock this morning before they even opened up. I'm thinking, wow, this is crazy. One final question, then we'll get into our key performance indicators here. And it's a great question, too. Robert's been following our show here. I love Mission Minded. He is. I've been following Michael Coleman since he was with the Jimmy Hale Mission. Recently, his wife has had some mental difficulties. She's fallen into a deep depression. Our thoughts and prayers go out to you, Robert, and your wife. We know how difficult that can be. She is insured, but she cannot find a good psychiatrist that will take her insurance. And so they obviously went $300, $400, $500 just out of pocket to meet with her. And it's very difficult. He said, knowing that you worked with Jimmy Hale Mission for quite some time and knowing that mental deficiencies and disabilities were a big part of the homeless community, how did you deal with that at the Jimmy Hale Mission?
So you had to do a lot of relationship building and a lot of collaboration. So usually in cities, let me back up just for a second. It's important that the audience knows that psychiatrist is different than a psychologist. Psychologist is going to do your counseling and all that and can diagnose, but they can't prescribe medication. So you have to go to psychiatrist. You have to be referred, and it's very costly. Now, people say, well, you can also get your general practitioner to prescribe any of the things. But the problem with general practitioners that I've seen, and I've experienced this just within my own family, is they are not as familiar with drugs that affect depression, mental health, OCD, just all the anxiety, and especially about how it's safe, how to interact, how they interact with each other, how you need to onboard with that medication, come off that medication. And so you can have challenges, safety challenges, and that's what psychiatrists are specially trained in. But you have tons of people just like this gentleman who don't have access. And so I know in Birmingham, there's the county health system. Jefferson County has a mental health system. You also have other nonprofits that can partner with some of the hospitals, some of the pharmacies and things like that. So I'll give you an example here. In Montgomery, we have medical outreach missions. And so if somebody needs help, they basically go to this and they get interviewed by retired doctors, people who still keep their license, who can still prescribe, but do it as a mission work or as a nonprofit work, just a service to the community. And then they actually fill the prescriptions there and they get those prescriptions discounted through the Baptist health system. So communities typically have resources. When we used to get people, homeless people at the Jimmy Hill Mission, we used to take them to a federally subsidized clinic and get them evaluated. And then those doctors, they weren't psychiatrists, but those doctors would help them, you know, get the medication that they need. But you run into all sorts of other challenges. But people are basically, and this is kind of all over the place, people who go into these community health systems, you know, the doctor only has a certain, you know, they can't spend 2 hours diagnosing somebody.
Yeah.
So lots of times they turn around and they just go, okay, tell me what's wrong. They're like, well, I can't control, you know, I'm very sad some days and then I can't control my temper the other day. I goes, oh, that sounds like you're bipolar. And they're writing scripts for it. And then we have people leave. So it's a very complex problem. It's very difficult. There's no easy answers, but I would suggest reach out to your community mental health facilities. And if you have access to a computer, you can Google, places that can offer you prescriptions, discount places and things like that. And even if you can get a prescription and have trouble paying your medication, if you don't have insurance, well, you said you had insurance, but for those who don't, sometimes you can even reach out directly to the manufacturer and they can give you discounted drugs.
You can also call your medical insurance provider and they will give you a list of in-network doctors that you can possibly see. And I, you know, it's funny because in a lot of times too, and it's for some reason, it seems to be the mental aspect of it. You're told, wow, this is a great doctor, call them and they can't see you for 3 to 6 months. And you don't,
They're not taking new patients at all.
Exactly. And you don't have 3 to 6 months.
There's a lot of challenges.
Yeah, really. It's really difficult. Great email questions. Info@TonyCurryRadio.com. We'll drop those in shows to come as well. Mission Minded here. He's Michael Coleman. He's the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. They work closely with Feeding America. They do wonderful work, and we're getting around for the holidays, so I know they're going to get a little busy here. Key performance indicators, KPI. Yeah. I'm glad you told me what KPI was. I didn't know what that was, and I was interested to, normally you throw something out, I'm like, that's not sexy at all, but you can sex it up a little bit. I know you're very good at that, and the way they're important to your organization. What exactly is a key performance indicator, and why did you come up with that topic today?
I tell you what, I'll undo my top button for those who are watching the video, and then maybe that'll sex it up.
There you go.
No, I wouldn't hurt anybody by doing that. So look, one of the things we all wrestle with as leaders in any, and it can be really, you could apply this to anything in your life, but the question always is, are we successful? And so you say, well, if I were to go into my different departments at the food bank and I go, okay, partner services or inventory operations, are we successful? And they go, well, how do you define success? That's a great question, because successful is such a subjective term. And the problem is if you own a company, if you're your company's owner and you go, well, I'm able to pay all my bills and I have money left over. And if you're happy with that, it's perfectly okay. You can run your business any way you want to. But most people are saying, look, I want to maximize my capability at whatever I am. So the only way I can do that is I have to measure each thing that I'm doing. And so a KPI is a system by which you develop that captures certain aspects of your business and helps indicate if you're being successful or not, if you're meeting your goals, or do you need to change? So I'll give you a good example. So one of the things is within our donors. And so one of the things we look at is last year's donors, let's say new donors from January until September of this year. And then we compare it to January or September from last year. Now, here's the ironic thing. We actually have fewer donors. Now, so if you said, well, there's fewer donors since you've been here, Michael, and you're like, well, that means you're failing. I mean, that's if you just look at the raw data. But if you look at the amount of donations and see that the per donation of each donor, the average has gone up probably $75 per donation.
Yeah.
We're actually bringing in a lot more money, even though we have fewer donors. Now, so why is that important to know? Well, when I look at that, I go, okay, well, number one, our messaging is taking effect in the community because we're not getting as many donors, but those, they're pouring more resources into us. So who am I missing? Well, you go back and you say, well, you're missing a lot of your $5 and $10 donors. And I don't want for a minute to think that I don't value or appreciate five or ten dollar donors, because we do. But when you look at it just from a business sense, you say, okay, we can't spend the money, because actually, if somebody gives $2, it actually cost us to take their donation.
Yeah.
Because we did a mail out,
mm-hmm.
we get $2 back. Now, I love the heart behind somebody. It's like the widow's mite in the Bible.
Yeah.
I know there are people who are given $2 and they may have had to go without something to give $2. And I just so value somebody's heart that does that. It's very sacrificial in giving. But again, from a business standpoint, you're like, well, by the time it takes us to do a thank you letter, to send it back, postage, send it back out, where it sends the person, it's cost us more to process that. So again, you want data, but you have to make sure that the data, that you're reading the data correctly, and KPIs help do that. So you can analyze patterns over time. You can look at any particular area and say, you know what, we're doing really good over here with donors, but look, we're managing our inventory. We have way too much waste in the system. And so if I can eliminate some of this waste, that's more food I can get out. And so it points out a problem that you may not see. And so then you start digging into what is it that's in our system that's creating the waste. And you're like, oh, you know what? We don't have enough refrigeration space. So how do we improve our processes of cycling our refrigerator out to create more space? You say, but I would never even know that just by walking by. I'm like, yeah, our refrigerator is full of product. That's great. We've got plenty to give out. But establishing these throughout your business really help you. And they can be organizational KPIs, or they can be departmental KPIs, or departmental needs to feed into the organizational. But the last thing I'll say about it is there's lots of software out there to do it. There's no magic way to do KPIs. What you need to do is you need to start with, what are my goals for my organization? And how do I measure if I'm moving in the right direction? I mean, that's as simple as I can boil it down. So there's no magic to it. It's like, so for us, for instance, if customer satisfaction is one of my key goals for my organization, then I say, how do I measure customer satisfaction? So then I have to send surveys out to the people we're serving to get feedback to mm-hmm. say, and then I could say, you know what? This first quarter, our satisfaction was 90%. This last quarter, there's a lot of people, you know, so what's changed? And it can alert me to go dig into, find out, wait a minute, the public now is not perceiving us like it was before. What's changed? What's go wrong? If I'm not paying attention to that, it may go so long I lose my customer base. And now I see it on the revenue side. And then I'm like, wait a minute, I made less money this year than I did last year. But if you had a KPI that you were monitoring and checking, you likely could have solved that problem way before you started losing money.
Good answer, my man. And a great topic there. He's Michael Coleman. He is, of course, the CEO of the Heart Alabama Food Bank, HAFB.org, or hashtag HAFB. Of course, you can check out our shows wherever you get your favorite podcast, or right here on the YouTube channel. And of course, here at least 5 days a week, right here on the TKR app. It's available through Android or Apple. Just put in those three letters and you're good to go. You'll see the guitar, great classic rock, and unique programming as well. Our next show, Bite by Bite, coming up here next, the challenges of providing nutritional food and, of course, customers and their willingness to eat it, which I absolutely love. I got a lot of questions, so make sure you're listening up for that next right here on Mission Minded and Tony Curry Radio.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.